They say the first rule of warfare is no fear. First rule. You're in a warfare and you're full of fear, I'm going to tell you right now, you're losing. The first rule of warfare is no fear. Now, Charles, let me know if I'm right. You've been out there in war. You've been out there with bullets all over your head. What caused you? Was it a point you got to where you just say, fear just left you? See? He says, too late for fear, because you're in the midst of it then. So at that point, you're just fighting. Fear is nowhere around you. Now, this is in the natural. A bullet could have hit come at any time, couldn't it?
When they kill you, you'll never hear it. As long as you hear them, you're good to go.
Ooh, Jesus. Did y'all hear that wisdom? Long as you're hearing it, keep moving. As long as you hear the voice of God, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Satan has been defeated. Get rid of fear. You're in a warfare. I'm going to tell you something. There's stages. If you're in warfare, number one, the first thing Satan's going to do, he's going to send fear your way. Because fear weakens you. It does. And so you have to fight the good fight with fear. But once you get over fear and you're in the midst of that battle, it's all over then, isn't it, y'all? It's the enemy that better look out. It's the enemy that better look out. First rule of warfare. Glory to God. Let me read for you. Stand with me and read. I'm going to try to get through as quick as I can. If I can, I'll finish up next week. Because you got to hear what the Lord is saying. I think it's going to encourage us. Hallelujah. I'm reading out of Mark 19, 23-26. I think I may stop at verse 23. But let's start at Mark 9. I really want to start at verse 14, if that's okay. When they came to the other disciples, Jesus was on the mountaintop with his three. They did what they had to do up there, and they came down, and they saw this scenario. So when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet them. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they couldn't. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus, for how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, didn't wait for a hand to be laid on them. When they saw him, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, tried to frighten Jesus. Jesus don't walk in fear. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, not even fazed by what the boy doing on the ground, not even fazed. How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus offended. My Bible got a question. He said, if you can. You asking me if I can. Everything is possible. To him who believe, you may be seated. God bless the reading of your word. We ask you to open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes so we can hear what the Spirit is saying and our spiritual eyes can see the truth. Father, because we know we believe what we see, help us to see the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus is the word of God. And when we declare what the word of God says, the first thing a person is going to do is come up to you and say, that's impossible. Well, the first thing is you shouldn't be intimidated by what they say, or you shouldn't become respond to their response in fear. You can go to anyone and they can give you a report, and you go in, you believe in God. You full of the word of God, and they're coming to you and say, that's impossible. All of a sudden, you heard it with your natural ear, and you become intimidated, and now you open up a way for Satan to bring fear in, and now you're questioning, you know, did God really say? Did God really say? But you have to realize that the people that's coming to you with that sort of standard, they're living by natural law and worldly reasoning. Their belief system has been shaped by those that's around them, those people in their lives, their parents, their teachers, the coaches, the music they listen to, the friends, the TVs, the movies. See, it's time for us to check our belief system. Yeah. What do you believe? Yeah. What has shaped your belief system? And a lot of times we get born again and we become new converts, but our belief system hasn't really changed, because what we believe is still molded and shaped by what we look at on TV, which isn't always glorifying God. We haven't decided yet to separate ourselves from friends who don't believe in God. And because they have the credentials and because they have the titles and the degrees, sometimes we'll hear them more than we hear the voice of God. So now they're watering down your belief system. All of a sudden, they're making you feel that's stupid, that's foolish. How in the world you can believe somebody you've never seen? I mean, you say God will do this and do that. When is it going to happen? When is it going to be manifested? You get a little shaken. You get a little weak. Well, maybe they're right. You know, they do have a doctorate degree, you know. And I'm talking about even some folk who profess themselves to be Christian, Dr. So-and-so and Reverend Dr. So-and-so. And for some reason, when they add a title to that name, we just pump them up a little bit. They know no more than you do. You probably even have more revelation than they do. But because you're intimidated by their belief system, all of a sudden you're going to listen to everything they say. You need to examine your belief system. Hallelujah. Been there, done that. You learn by growing. You learn that their belief system is doing nothing for you. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit opened up your eyes and you realize they just as foolish. And then the fear leaves. You go into a room to be interviewed and you got all these management people, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to show you and whisper in your ear, they need to be saved. Then the tables turn. They're not in control anymore. All the Holy Spirit said, you have eternal life. The one who gives all wisdom lives in you. Glory to God. And guess what? The one who gives promotion is your Father. Holy Spirit, start pumping you up with faith, don't it? All of a sudden, you start asking them questions. Now, how much does that job pay? And when does it begin? Because, you know, I've already scheduled a vacation. They haven't even hired me yet. But my confidence has grown. And whether you hire me or not, it doesn't matter. I've given my best because God is my Father. But see, if you go in there all week and sweating and profuse, you know, you start talking in a different language. You're not even asked. You ever been in a situation? You ask a question and you're like, what question they answering? I didn't ask them that question. But your nerves are so bad, you just answering and saying anything about anything, and it has nothing to do with what I asked you. Can you tell me something by yourself? You know, well, you know, in order for a person to receive those type of benefits, they have to come in. I didn't ask you all that. I said, tell me something about yourself. So I like, but so you see why we need to examine our belief system. And it does take courage sometimes to separate yourself. But it's your choice. If we want to grow in Christ, we have to remember who we are. We have to remember that we have been deprogrammed, where they have been programmed by the enemy to believe that they cannot move beyond natural boundaries and limitations. See, they figure they can go. You ever met anyone say, well, you know, I've risen as high as I can go now. Well, your limitations and boundaries are set. I can go higher than that. Had a dream the other night. I know exactly what the Lord was telling me. And it was a rocket. And I was on a rocket. And very powerful rocket, and I saw it shoot up, Charles, and I went up, 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 and I went up so high, pride came in. I said, oh my goodness, I'm up here now. I have risen full of power. I mean, that rocket went up, and another rocket went up and went right by me and broke through the clouds. And it caused me to be sad, Because where I still had a little twinge of darkness around me, that rocket went through the clouds and I saw nothing but daylight. It's like the Lord was telling me, oh no, you need to go even higher. That's what I began to realize. You need to examine your belief. What is keeping you from going higher? There's so much more. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Even if you become full of power of the Holy Spirit, don't get caught up and worship that. Go higher. Hallelujah. Till you see the light. Hallelujah. Until you see the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. Until you see the Lord saying, well done. Hallelujah. Where did that pride come from? Where did that pride come from? That's why we have to carefully examine ourselves. That thing woke me up and it's like, oh my goodness, there's more is all I'm saying. There's more. But we have to remember that we're children of the Most High God. And we are in this world, but we're not of it. Am I right? When we became born again, our belief system became controlled by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Your belief system is controlled by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Their belief system is dominated by Satan. They say you can't. The Word says you can't. Can. They say you'll never be there. God said all things are possible. What do you believe? They say is that you have so much time. God says you are above time because I override time. Time for us now is faith, which is now. What time is it? Now. What time is it, though? Now. Glory to God. That's time. And see, that overrides fear. Because man loves to put you in a box. Who are they to tell you how long you have to live on this earth? Did they create you? Were they with you when you were conceived in your mother's womb? Were they with you when you were born? Have they promised to be with you when the hair grows gray? I don't think so. But my God has. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I listen to him. If he tells me I'm going to have long life, then I'm going to have long life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How dare you try to intervene in my divine destiny? How dare you try to interrupt my purpose in life? I feel like Nadine there. Y'all see how Nadine walks across? Don't y'all love it the way she does it? I love it. Glory to God. Examine your belief system. It'll strengthen you. Start. You know, if people gonna call you crazy, just wear act crazy. They talk about y'all. Them crazy folk over there. We ought to give them a reason to call you crazy. I'm crazy. You right. Hallelujah. But and have fun being crazy. That's the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. We have eternal life. Glory to God. I step from this and step to this and I don't miss a beat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heaven is our home. And earth is where we are ambassadors of Christ. That's it. Our standard is what? Heaven, not this fallen world. We've been commanded to walk in the spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We find that in Galatians 5:16. Somebody turn to Colossians 3:1-3 for me. And here's Paul admonishing the Colossians. What does he say? Since then you have been raised with whom? Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Get your mind off this stinking thinking down here on earth. Set it above where Christ is seated. Hear what Christ is saying. See what Christ is doing. Ask him to open up your eyes. I keep telling you, seeing is believing. If you allow the enemy to paint an image in your head and magnify your natural eye, he's going to have you seeing stuff, going to make your knees wobble. And it's going to make you sick. When you lay down, he's going to cause you to see it. When you wake up, he's going to cause you to see it. When you're doing your work, he's going to cause you to see it. He's going to make you freeze right where you are. And he's going to say, watch this movie, just like a DVR, resume. He'll cut it off for a while. But right in the midst, he knows exactly when you weak. He'll push that resume button. And he'll start right where he left. Oh, I ain't finished with you. Oh, I'm going to make it a little harder for you. Glory to God. That's what he does. And then he's going to make that picture clearer and clearer and clearer. And you're going to begin to hear the words clearer and clearer. But you know what you got to do? You got to do what I do when I'm looking at something I don't like. Click up. I don't have to stay there. Turn that thing off. Fall on your knees in prayer. Tell God, Lord, I need to see the image from heaven. God, I need to hear what you're saying from heaven. And God, if I hear it, I'm going to agree with you. Hallelujah. Because your word is true. Stop looking at that garbage. Turn it off. Sometimes I would have to vision myself. With that. I would wipe the canvas clean. It was pure white. I said, the Holy Spirit, you draw. You draw the truth for me. Then the image began to change. You see yourself healthy and whole. Glory to God. You see yourself full of the joy of the Lord. Oh, you see your youth being renewed. Glory to God. You see yourself shouting all over the world. You see yourself saving the lost and the sick. You see yourself laying hands on. You see the dead being raised to life. Is that not true? All right. Wipe your campus clean. Wipe it clean. And then tell the Holy Spirit you start drawing the pictures of Christ. You put the image in my head that's from heaven. Because that's where my mind is set on heavenly things. This stuff down here, it'll make you feel dirty and full of garbage. Examine your belief system. Who's influencing you? And who you influencing? Let's not get so prideful now. Who you influencing with your lackadaisical your ways? Who you influencing with your compromising life? Who you influence with your acid tongue? Who you influence praising God one day and cursing man the next? Who you influencing? God gonna judge all that. Praising God one out of this faucet and cursing man in this faucet. God said, that's not me. Who you influencing? God said, you caused one of his little ones to stumble. Woe unto you. It's best just to be quiet and go somewhere and sit down. He tell me that all the time. Don't make go sit down because you're not right. Okay, sir. And I'll lock my office door. I said, don't come here right now. Let me get this thing together. Lord, help me cleanse my heart because I know one more thing I may go off. That's right. Come on now. You got to remember you're human. That's right. And that's why he gives us prayer. But the thing is, when you know you're about to go off and you don't do anything to have that atmosphere change, and God's going to call you accountable. But see, if you tip onto your little off, you can hit the Lord and say, don't make him sit yourself down there. Yes, sir. I'll sit myself down, put a little door on the door, you know, in conference. And I am. Lord, help me real quick. Because I know who I'm running for is running right down behind me. They're going to be bamming on that door. And that's going to aggravate me. What are you bamming on my door for? And so by the time they come in, you know, I'm calm. My office full with the Holy Spirit. And we can sit down. And God always turn that thing around. We always leave in peace. Ain't God good? See, you don't fight evil with evil. The devil thought he had a fight going on. But I fooled him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You don't have parents take the little child and push him right on, you know, right here in the midst of this bad sore, because he does some pushing. But you know what? I don't resist the pushing. Push on, Lord. Push on. Hallelujah. Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It can't be. If you're not in connection with him, you can't have his will be done on earth. You don't even know what it is. We love to pray that prayer, thy will be done on. But are you doing his will? Do you know what's good? Jesus did. He did nothing unless the Father told him. His focus was always on the Father. That's why he would talk to him every day, all day. Father, what about this situation? Father, what about that situation? Father, what do you want me to do here? What's your will in that situation? But sometimes we get so caught up in our Christianity, we think we know everything. We don't ask the Holy Spirit for any guidance. And then when you sit still and do nothing, folk like to run. Look, they don't do nothing. What kind of Christians are there? All they do is sit. We're like, well, you don't know what the Lord's told me to do. He may have told me rest for a season. He may have told me, that's not your area. Get out of there. I've already tapped on someone to go over there, and they're anointed to do it. Halt for a minute. Pause for a minute. Lord, should I go? Lord, should I do it? And then when I go there, Lord, what is you want me to say? Glory to God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's awesome. That's powerful. Because earth is supposed to be a reflection of heaven, is it not? And so we complain about all this is going on in earth and that's going on, but the Lord can say, but are you doing your part? When Jesus was on the earth, it was just as much lawlessness as it is today, killing the babies, stealing pornography. Yes, it was just as bad as it is today, but Jesus was about doing his work. He said he came to destroy the work of the devil, and he did it. Wherever he went, he did it. I heard a pastor say, and I agree with that. See, we've gotten away from the suffering piece. We've gotten away from the suffering piece. And God's going to call some of us to suffer. What I mean, he's going to call some of us to give up this luxurious type of living. He's going to say, now go out into the desert, put up a tent, because I want you to minister to these people. Now, yeah, that's suffering for some of us. Not used to that kind of living. But the question is, when God comes and asks you to do that, what is your answer going to be? See, we're in a time there now when the world is winding down and God has creations out here that he desires truly to be saved. You know, pack up your bags, sell your house, go to the boroughs of New York City in this apartment. Maybe rat infested. Yeah, I may be exaggerating, but I don't know what God might tell us to do. But see, we need to start thinking now what you're going to do. God may have a blessed us all with abundance of money for what? To care for the needy? Because, see, money is a blessing of God. It's not our priority. There's nothing wrong with money. It's a blessing of God, but it's not our priority. And you see some people, money come in one hand, go right in the other. They're forever giving, 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 giving. And that's why they keep getting so much. Because God can trust them. They love to give. And you tell me God not going to give them the residue? Because God knows if he says, now give the residue, they're going to do that too. Ooh, the blessings of God are rich and they had no sorrow. None whatsoever. See, God knows that money's not their priority. They use it as a blessing. They use it so people can see how God blesses. And if I say give, they're going to give. They're not going to hold back. So these little $2 you hold on to like this, you're cheating yourself. Because you get that two, God will 200, give you 200, and then you give me 10, you keep the rest. You keep the residue. Then the next thing, he give you 200,000. You know, your faith is building there. You trust God. God said, I can trust her. Now I want you to give away 100, and you keep the residue, you keep another 100. But you keep holding on tight to that little 50 cent. And God bless you. I don't know what you can buy 50 cent nowadays. Glory to God. We have to get to a point in our walk with God that we can't say what we see. We have to say what he says. You see it, don't say it. You say what God says about the situation. You got a situation in your life, go to the word of God. What does God say about the situation? Then you say what God said. You agree with God. I'm telling you the truth. God has given us his holy word. In his holy word, there's a promise for every situation that you're going to face in life. Every situation. Doctors don't know it all. Philosophers don't know it all. Financiers don't know it all. You may think they do, but they don't. They'll tell you something. You go and look it up in the word of God. If it agrees with what is being said, then you always agree with God. Isn't that how you encourage yourself in the Lord? See, it brings you joy. You know, the doctors will say this, but God says that. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? What report are you going to believe? Well, you need to choose to believe God. Then you begin to say what God says. You begin to agree with what God says. You begin to get up in the morning and say what God says. During your lunch hour, you say what God says. I don't care if it is repetitious. You got to keep saying to it, explode in your spirit. And one day you're going to be walking, all of a sudden that word going to just explode. You say, oh my God, it's true. It's true. I believe God. Oh, hon, the devil gonna skip right on off. Because don't think he's falling right down behind you just like that person on my job. And sometimes you got to slam that door right in his face. Say, not today. And when Jesus went to that boy that was sick, it says the demon saw Jesus and began to act up. Jesus didn't speak to it and lay hands. He saw. And he going to see something in you. Lord Hammer, he going to see something in you. Better not mess with her. Because that word, I've dealt with that word before. His name was Jesus Christ. And he will remember what Jesus did to him when Jesus went to hell and took the keys, rose from the dead, and made a show of him. He going to remember all that and say, you won't go through that again. Totally embarrassed. Snatched them keys from him. This is going to somebody who got false teeth. Say, give him them teeth. They look weak, helpless. All of a sudden, they age on you. You know what I'm saying? They were in disguise. That's how Satan is. The Bible says, as a roaring lion. He just loud. That's all. But you, he was saying, when Jesus snatched them keys from Satan, I know he was up there like this. And then made a show of them. Showed everybody. Examine your belief system. Glory to God. Jesus says, we are overcomers. I'm agree with him. If he says I am more than a conqueror, I'm going to agree with him. Hallelujah. If he says I'm healed by the stripes that was laid upon Jesus, I'm going to agree with Jesus. If he says I'm going to have a long, satisfied life, I'm going to agree with Jesus. He tells me I don't have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, I'm going to agree with Jesus. Let me halt right here for a minute and talk to you a little bit about fear. Over in the book of 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul told Timothy, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. What I call to remember is a genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded. Paul is always persuaded, isn't he? Is in you also. He said, this is the script. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the what? Laying on of hands. Now, I bring before you today that gift that he's talking about is the Holy Ghost. Why? Because over in chapter 8, it says this, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now I'm at 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So he's telling Timothy up here in verse 6, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Stir up the Holy Spirit. But then he says in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He says stir up the spirit of the Holy Ghost in you. Because that spirit and fear you're dealing with, that's not the gift God gave you. That's not the gift God. So you're stirring up the spirit of fear, which came from Satan. But he's saying you need to stir up the gift that God sees. Timothy walked in fear because of his youth. He was intimidated. You know, he felt that some of the Christians who were older and belonged knew more than he did. And Paul said, but that faith in you is genuine, Timothy. You got to stop being afraid of your age. And you got to stir up the power that's in you, the gift of the Holy Spirit that will override that spirit of fear, which did not come from God. Don't you receive anything in your spirit that doesn't come from God. Get rid of that spirit of fear. It's a perverted gift. It's a perverted gift. It's a perverted gift. It's just like you have this beautiful gold vase and all of a sudden somebody going to come and give you something that's mildewed and you're going to put it inside that priceless treasure. Get rid of that perverted gift. You got to see fear. You got to detest fear. Fear cripple you. So he says, stir it up. Stir up the Holy Ghost, John. Stir him up in you. He's power. He's waiting to be used. He's waiting to control. He's waiting to lead. He takes joy in seeing the works of the devil destroyed. Stir him up. Fear is real. And if you can feel fear, if you can feel the spirit of fear, you think the spirit of faith not real? It's just when you attach yourself to the natural realm more to the spirit realm, you become more familiar with what's going on in the natural. So that spirit of fear still controls you a little bit. Get over it in the spirit realm. Get familiar with the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. You know what a sound mind means? Your mind is always fixed on the word of God. Always fixed on the word of God. It's fighting time. It's fighting time. Glory to God. I do not have the spirit of fear. I agree with God. God says that we will not grow tired or weary. He says we will not stumble and fall. I agree with God. We will hope in the Lord and receive our strength from him. I agree with God. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. I agree with God. God said he forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. I agree with God. He redeems our lives from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. I agree with God. He satisfies our desires with good things. So our youth is renewed like the eagle. I agree with God. And then I just happened to turn over here to Isaiah 43. And Isaiah began to speak the words of God. He said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Domia, come here. Let me cover you with my feathers. Let me hide you in the cleft of the rock, because you are mine." Hallelujah. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you, Domia. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overtake you, Domia. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. I agree with God. The flame will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, Domia. I am your Lord and Savior. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I realize it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. I'm coming. That shadow is not going to frighten me. I'm going to keep moving in the light. Why is there a shadow? Because there's light. Light casts a shadow. So the light is my Lord Jesus Christ. And every time I see the shadow, it reminds me the Lord is on my right side. And long as I hold on to his hand, I'm coming through the fire. I'm coming through the river. I'm coming through, and I am victorious in Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God is true. The word of God works. The word of God is powerful than a two-edged sword. But you gotta believe. You gotta believe God. You gotta believe God. Hallelujah. I agree with God. I agree with God. I agree with God. I believe God. Do you believe God? Stand to your feet. I believe God. Hallelujah. I believe God. I believe God. He's my shield. He's my rock. I extol him. I lift up his name. He's everlasting. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. He intercedes for me daily. He's my high priest. He never sleeps or slumber. Hallelujah. Everything towards me is good. All I have to do is ask, believe it, and I shall receive it. Nothing is impossible. God said, "Can I do it?" Of course I can do it if you believe. Can I do it? If you only believe. I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah, which strengthens me. You believe God. You believe God. You believe God. Agree with the word. Agree with the word. Agree with the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm spent now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of God. See, you can preach what you know is true. I'm telling you, we all been through them dark places. And we've all been tried. But God always comes out faithful. Doesn't it, y'all? Don't it come out faithful, y'all? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can depend on. No more fear. No more fear. No more fear. If you feel like yourself, so come and read Isaiah 43. And agree with God when he says, fear not. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Well, I shared the first page of my notes. God willing, Pastor, I finish up next Sunday. You guess the Lord may say, don't man, sit your little cell phone down. I hear when he says that. But if he says continue, I will continue next week. Because we have to really receive all things are possible to those who believe. And we have to not be afraid of what's coming. See, you're going to hear people saying this is going to happen and that's going to happen. But we got to remember that God is above all things. We're going to be all right, saints. We're going to be all right. Because he says he'll summon us, will he not? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come on, Domia, and I'm coming. Many people have told me about God calling me to rest. Sometimes a little hard hearing, but I hear real good now. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your joy in the house today. I thank you for the encouragement that has been released. I thank you once again that the lies of the enemy have been exposed. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful in all things. Bless your people. Father, when they're weak, show yourself strong. Let them remember who their Father is and all the provisions that you have provided. You are a living hope. Help us never to give up. Never to give up. Help us to grow in our faith. That's just like a seed. And that seed is the word of God. We speak it, and it plants itself in the soil of our hearts. And if our hearts are pure and it's a good ground, it will grow up to 30, 60, 100 fold. Help us to keep our hearts pure so we can grow stronger and stronger in the things of God. We thank you for a lovely day. We thank you for your blessings that surround us always. Help us to keep our attention focused on you. Remind us that we don't have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Pray this prayer, believing that it's been answered. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone that needs prayer, the altar is open.